We need to talk.
In a somewhat friendly manner.
So make the call.
A colorful call.
884-9910. News and talk. Live and local. The Weekend. On News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello. John Potter, live and local. How's it going? Craig, the 10 o'clock guests, are they in Carson City? Or?
No, they are not. They were supposed to be in the Reno studio. And I have
no, they're not here. They must have listened to the show. Anyway, I'm John Potter. Phone lines are open. Anything you want to bring up, especially local, 884-9910. Do you ever... And I'm experiencing this now. After you throw the clothes in and you turn the dryer on, you're constantly thinking, you know, when you're driving and even when you get to your destination, that this may be just me, that you're fearful, you have anxiety, that you may have a clothes dryer fire. And maybe it's just one of the crazy things about me, but there have been dryer fires though when people leave the house, and it's pretty nonsensical because, you know, I don't think the odds of a dryer fire are that big, but they happen. And then you know, you wonder, oh, did I clean the lint trap last time? It's like what I sometimes go through with the garage door, you know, when I'm on the road. Did I close the garage door? Did I? And there have been, you know, like two times when I made a good 10 to 15 minute drive back just to see my closed garage door at home and get back on the road. Dryer fires and garage doors are my neurosis. Not washing machine fires, strangely enough. Those of you who know me are well aware that probably one of my biggest neuroses in life. Oh, I got a few, folks. But one of my biggest is house fires. And that was drilled into me at an early age by my dad. So I'm always unplugging things. I even unplug the electric toothbrush. And usually I never leave the house with the dryer running, but I did today. Craig, are you calling a psychiatrist? I think I can picture that in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think he has just one.
Any help for me?
Yeah, you have more neurosis than one psychiatrist can handle.
Okay, thank you. The weather is, I think, ideal. You know, fall is my favorite season. Current temperature in Reno, 64 degrees, and this change... And now, not only that, not just temperatures. Wow, sunrise getting late. You will never see another month where the sunrise and the sunset times change so, so dramatically. Already, we have to wait till like 6:40 in the morning for sunrise. The change that we feel and see outside heralds, of course, the last weeks of our area farmers markets. The Tamarack Junction Market on South Virginia ends in 2 weeks, the Saturday after next. The Village Shops Market on California Avenue ends the Saturday after that. That's the one I would go to all the time, but I can't because it's only open during this show. So that's going to be closing in a couple of weeks. And there's the Sunday one, the Riverside Farmers Market at Idlewild Park. Now, that's the one I walk to now. The one on California Avenue, they seem to have more farmers. The Idlewild one is a lot of, well, it's more like local business tents. Maybe there are farmers who go there or not. I don't really know, but there's a place that sells bread there. Just a table with their bread. And last Sunday, I went out for a run. A slow old man fast walk these days, but I still call it a run. And I stopped there at the bread tent. And there's the guy at the bread table, and I go over to him and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" And, you know, we chit chat. I ask about the bread. He goes, "Oh, this is a raisin bread. Here I got sourdough, this and that." And of course, you know, when you go and you talk to somebody at the table, even if they don't have something you want, you always feel, you know, a little a bit obligated. Like, you know, I got to buy something, you know, it'd be rude to just walk away, you know, don't want to hurt your feelings. So I said, "What's this here?" And he says, "Well, that's wheat bread. How much does that cost?" $5. And so, okay, give me the wheat bread, please. And I walk off with this nondescript, unlabeled loaf of wheat bread that I bought, and I take it home. And wouldn't you know it, it is like outstanding. Listen, I'm in my 70s. I thought I had the best bread by now. This frickin' wheat bread is I ate that loaf of bread not as an add-on, but I ate the loaf of bread over 2 days as the main meal. Like, this bread was just not to be wasted making sandwiches. This was not for sopping up gravy after dinner. This was, you know, I want to taste that bread. So at any rate, it was a great discovery. But yeah, the farmers markets are closing soon. Get them while you can. We have some very disruptive lane closures that start Monday. I brought up Sparks Boulevard. They're going to be working on 80 to Bering. Might be some delays out there. We all love sharing our wild local road stories, don't we? And we all have them. And this kind of fits in with what I brought up about a month ago here. There are these scooters. And I about a month ago, I was like, I hear there's a scooter gang at Somerset, or was it Spanish Springs? I forgot. Very young people riding these things that go a lot faster than the scooters in my day. And they just go around in circles on main roads and all this crazy stuff. Well, you know, we're not talking these green leaf things that people leave on the sidewalks. These are like mini bikes. That's what we used to call these midget motorcycles, kind of like a beefed up clown bike. You know, in the 60s and 70s, there were mini bikes. That's what they called them, little gas lawnmower engines. They never went over 25 miles per hour at the most. And Dad bought us a used Benelli mini bike. I don't know if Benelli's still around, Italian mini bike. And the next day, after we got that Benelli mini bike, the next day I witnessed my brother Danny drive right in front of a car, which missed him by, I swear, 2 inches. Danny just cruised right in front of this car driving down the road. "Don't worry, Danny. I won't tell Mom and Dad." And, you know, folks, we all have that incredible scare, right? When you're young, which turns out to be the best lesson learned, wasn't it? So anyway, Thursday, I'm walking home at the corner of Plum and Arlington, 12:40 p.m., parents of this person, 30 mile per hour speed limit there. And this kid looked about 14 years old, no helmet, of course, Mom and Dad, races by, had to be going at least 50 miles per hour on the right side of the road. And there's not much room on that road, you know, ever since the city broke it down to give all this space for bikes and everything, but there's no bike lane at that juncture. No room for bikes. I don't know if this thing was electric. It wasn't quite loud enough for gas engines. It was like a UFO. And these are a thing now. If you haven't seen one, you will, but they've been in the news. They've been taking their toll with injuries and even deaths, and they can't be legal. I just, not for a 14-year-old, but that's what they're designed for. 50 miles per hour. I was shocked. It's all kids, because what grown-up is going to get on this little peewee motorbike? So I got to alert people about these things, and another reason to look both ways. All right, emails from last Saturday's show. John Potter, here are some more careers young people can go after that will never be taken over by AI. Yeah, I had, it was last Saturday. I had a long list I read in the last show because I am alarmed, and I think you will be too, to see how fast AI will be replacing human beings in so many jobs. And, okay, here's their list. Plumbers, electricians. Actually, I think I had those two last Saturday. Email says mental health experts, bartenders. I don't know. I heard of some robot bartenders, I think, in Vegas for now. Law enforcement officers. Well, come on. We've seen RoboCop. I don't know about that. They do have robots going around for parking violations I've seen in some cities. Hairdressers. Yeah. Lifeguards. Okay. I'll go with lifeguards for sure. Otherwise, yeah, you're basically right. Anything that can be automated will be automated. And those types of jobs will mostly disappear. And yes, you were born too late. We're going to take a break right now. It's Open Topic, obviously. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a little bit. FM News Talk time, 10:17.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
I'm the local, John Potter. Glad you're here, folks. Did anybody out there go to the vigil last night in Reno, the Believe Plaza downtown, for Charlie Kirk? I heard from somebody that it was a very good scene there, that people were respectful. There was no problem. And I think everybody, no matter how you feel, of course, I'm idealistic, but I think everybody realizes that this was just so wrong. In the studio in Carson City, it's our good friend Jerry Evans. Hey, Jerry, what's your take?
I was shocked by the impact that it had on me, and I think that was because of the impact it had on my daughter, for example, who called me just in tears, and I honestly did not know that she was that much of, or even a follower of, Charlie Kirk and Turning Point and everything. So the impact on her, the impact on my girlfriend, I was shocked at how much of an impact it had on them, which in turn kind of made me feel something. I think I even shed a tear on that, as well as watching his wife last night. And so he, you know, turning point for the country. I don't know. I'm unfortunately usually cautiously pessimistic, and I am on this as well, especially when you hear the comments coming from some of the political people. I hate to call people like that leaders. They certainly don't lead me, as in the Nancy Pelosi's and some of those in media. I did see that some of the mainstream media, there was somebody I'd never heard of before, but apparently got fired over his comments. And it's kind of that, well, he had it coming type comment coming from, I don't even want to call him the left. I'll call him Democrats, because that's what they are.
You know, that hasn't been brought up. And I think so far the media has been left off the hook on this. Not only does the mainstream media slant the news against people like Charlie Kirk, but they whip their viewers into this political frenzy, and they make, Jerry, they make heroes out of these killers. Luigi, geez, I heard the news make the guy famous for weeks, not much about his victim. And what did I see last night on CNN? CNN, Anderson Cooper did this like 1 hour all about the killer, with his panel of experts saying things like, oh, it was a professional hit, a professional job, and was like compliments. And by the way, it was not a professional job. With that rifle, 40 minutes of instruction will get you to hit the target 150 feet away. And the idiot, the so-called professional, the idiot bragged to somebody and left his identity everywhere. And you know what? Notice I've never said his name. That was my personal policy at Channel 2. I don't give the names of these mass killers or killers because they want to be popular. And people are going to copy them. That's what makes me furious. And nobody's bringing up the media's role in this. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I don't care if you mention his name or not. Tyler Robinson, that was his name. Not mentioning his name is not going to do anything. The root of the problem is, as you said, it's the media and the media and the Democrat Party, one and the same, other than obviously a few that aren't. But part of the thing, too, is I did see just a very brief video of this. I didn't want to watch it again. It happened to be my son that sent it to me. Former military, knew he was dead when within 30 to 45 seconds he was gone, hit there with the amount of blood that came out. Your brain goes dead, no oxygen, and you're gone within 30 to 45 seconds. But just thinking back about this, I'm not sure. Do you remember, John, exactly when, how many years after Kennedy was shot that the Zapruder film was released so people could see John Kennedy's head getting, or portion of his head getting shot off?
I remember. Thank you. I'm an old man. It was not on TV. What happened was Life magazine bought the Zapruder film, and they had the color pictures. From the film, they just printed the pictures, and all you could see was like this grainy blotch of red on Kennedy's head. It wasn't graphic like nowadays, and of course, television would never air it, even if they did buy the Zapruder film back then. Yeah.
Well, the week that we had was, which started on 9/10 on September 10th, of a video of the woman, the Ukrainian woman, sitting down on the train and watching some guy stab her three times. And so exposed to that, the very next day was Charlie Kirk. And I think back to remember during the Afghan war, and there were these beheadings. They weren't on television, but they were on video. I personally didn't. I saw the start of the American guy that was beheaded. I didn't see the Italian, but the kind of society we've become here is just...
Yeah, the internet, it's a wide open market on the internet. Now you can see it all in... But the Charlie Kirk, this was not a guy, like I said earlier, who was trying to cancel or censor or shut people down. His whole thing was dialogue. He was killed for the crime of debating issues in the public square. He just wanted to have conversations with him.
And the lies that were spread about him, and Guy Benson played a soundbite yesterday of him talking to a college student, a guy who said he was gay. And that's the first thing he brought up. He said, well, you're not gay, whoever you are. You are you. You feel conservative. Welcome to the conservative cause. We don't care what you do in your bedroom. But Armstrong and Getty talked about it this week. The Sacramento Bee published a story by, I forget, some blogger or something that said that, you know, Charlie Kirk was proposing or suggesting that transgenders be hung by the neck. And the Sacramento Bee actually published that story and then a couple of days later did a retraction.
It doesn't matter what his views were at all. And it's just words, okay? And it's his viewpoint. Nothing to do with a cause for murder.
That was completely false, is what I'm saying. In other words, the media, which used to have a conscience, does not have a conscience, and they are so. Again, the media, the Democrat Party, the mainstream media, the Democrat Party, are essentially one and the same, and they don't appear to have a conscience. They have published so much stuff that is false, fake. I mean, I honestly, I don't react that much to any particular story, whether it be something that I want to believe or don't want to believe, and give it a day or two, because you can't trust anything you hear or read these days, well, either online and especially not the mainstream media. And my little saying I came up with, which is these advertisers, businesses, local businesses that buy television advertising. And the phrase I came up with is, it's not genius or anything, it's just, you're feeding the hand that bites you. They are the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party always goes after you as a business owner for additional tax revenue. They've been spreading these lies for decades now about a political party that typically, and again, I'm no big fan of the Republican Party. I'm a conservative. But why do you continually feed the hand that bites you? Guarantee you, things would change if they suddenly, if their revenue stream was gone, they would perhaps have a talk to an anchor. I don't know who she was. I don't have a personal vendetta against her. I just happened to be, for the first time in a long time, tuning into a stream of some sort of a local newscast. It was a black weatherman, you probably know who it is, John, and a Asian woman reporter for one of the local radio stations, television stations. And she said, and I quote, in referring to the story, the Maryland man.
Well, okay.
The Maryland man, the guy that the senator from Maryland went down and had margaritas with. I can't think of his name right now. But said she repeats their idols in the larger market television reporting or whatever as the Maryland man, who we've since found is not only involved in child porn, human trafficking, beating of his wife, and is illegally in the United States. And the local reporter referred to him as the Maryland man. So my two cents on that is this. I'm not saying, hey, stop all your television advertising and bring it to me.
Yeah.
Stop your television advertising and bring it to radio or anywhere else, but don't support the crap that you get from the local television stations and apparently the inept college-graduated TV reporters.
And the cable TV, of course, whipped people up into a frenzy. I noticed they've been treating this, though, with kid gloves. Suddenly, Charlie Kirk, the conservative, finally the word conservative has come back. You mean you don't, you're not going to use your usual hard right business? The thing that broke my heart, I'll wrap this up real quick, is reading the comments on places like the newspaper website. Some people write comments or Reddit. It reminds me of this recent poll they did. Is violence ever right in politics when you disagree with somebody? And 58% said they do not ever would go with violence in politics. But Jerry, that means 42% now think it's a proper response. And I think it's an age thing. I think the younger people have taken this attitude, this negative, snarky attitude from places like Reddit, and we're seeing it right now on our computer screens and elsewhere.
Well,
anyway,
I don't subject myself to that. I think I probably have too much anger.
I try to stay
hate
away.
And anger in my heart for those people that I just simply don't subject myself to that. And it's not just, as you see these videos of these old, aged hippies that are protesting and in some cases attacking ICE agents. So we're four, going on five generations of indoctrination that it's going to take a long time to get away from. Hopefully, so aptly named, we've reached a turning point, especially with the younger kids. My youngest daughter is 34, and Like I said, hopefully there's a generation that if it's turning to Christ, if it's following Charlie Kirk, whatever is better for this country is what I want. And hopefully, you know, like his wife said last night, is that, and I was so happy to see her not be one of these, let's forgive type of persons. She has anger in her heart, rightfully so. And
being real.
Being real and a real human being on this. So,
all right, buddy.
Hopefully things turn around and I...
okay.
Yeah, but I'm glad you subject yourself to the to that stuff. I can't
now,
take it.
I try to, Jerry, I try not to look, but it's it breaks my heart to see it. Thank
let
God.
Me, let me end on this note yes. here real quick. And I'm glad you didn't do this because I'd be angry at you if you did.
You?
This, yes. This crap that you hear coming out of the mouth of anchors, of politicians, about we've got to tone it down on the left and the right. Nah. Give me, and don't bring up Terry, whatever his name was, that did the Oklahoma bombing. Give me the scorecard of the last 10 years, left versus right, on who is doing the violence and the killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the media will still whip him up.
Evans out.
All right, my friend. Good talking with you. And we're going to bring this up again, 11 o'clock. The Douglas County Republicans are coming out, and the doctor is going to give his take on political violence in America. And it's just not what this country, in my mind, should ever stand for. Thank you, sir. Talk to you later. Thanks, boss. I'm going to break for Fox News. After that, we're going to be talking about the Jackpot of Gems show, which is an amazing thing. Could you find yourself a priceless jewel? That's going to be right after Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:35.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Guess what's going on right now, Stephanie?
Hey, Northern Nevada, we have got the Jackpot of Gems show.
Oh, all I have to do is flip the switch and Stephanie is on it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just came from the GSR, Grand Sierra Resort, and down at the Silver State Pavilion, which is downstairs by the swimming pool and the spa and all that, is where the big room is located, where we have a ton of jewelers there presenting particularly beautiful pieces, very exquisite, of gems created from here in Nevada as well as all over the world. So there's beautiful jewelry to see. There's rocks and there's crystals and there's statues and so many items.
It's like a big bazaar, right? I mean, you have mystery bags, mystery boxes. I didn't buy one because they looked big and heavy. For me to take out. I guess people show up there with their what do you call them, the lifts, and would take these huge cartons of rocks. And what is in those things? I mean, do you hide some gems in there? Where do they come from?
Well,
do you know what's in them?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have buckets of rocks for sale, beginning at about $15 for a 5-gallon bucket of rocks, and they are quite a variety of ones that really have some spectacular pieces in them relative to color and size and form, etc. So that's available. Plus, we have a silent auction every 30 minutes. You can go around the tables and bid on these most exaggerative.
There was so much. I was just overloaded going to this. I'm John Potter. This is Stephanie Leonard. And the Jackpot of Gems is right now open, this time at the GSR. This really reflects our mining history, and this is a special Jackpot of Gems show. It's 60 years that you've been doing, and it's your Diamond Jubilee, and we are giving away tickets. Just hang in there. We'll do that before 11 o'clock in the morning. So what's different this year, Stephanie, at the Jackpot of Gems show?
Well, I would say what's different is that we're putting a lot of focus on children and kids and getting them involved with geological arts and sciences. So we're doing classes right there when you enter into our building space on fossils, on mining, and how to go out and do some gold panning, et cetera. So we really want to have kids get so much more interested, you know, in that profession here, and specifically here in our state of Nevada.
So you're creating little rock hounders.
Oh, we are. And they're so delighted. And kids come in, and one of the things that they will get is a free, real fossil.
Is that how you got started rock hounding?
Yeah, I would walk around my yard picking up rocks, too. But
no, but how did this start, the love of seeking gems in the ground and finding things that are very special in our dirt here in Nevada? How did it start for you?
For me, you know, it was just walking around, kicking rocks around and picking one up and looking at it and saying, oh, my gosh, look at the colors, look at the crystals that are in there. And it became really fascinating. But also, it's really trying to understand the history of the earth, the sand, the gravel, the mountains. And here in Nevada, you know, we've got over 300 mountain ranges. And every one of those mountain ranges holds a secret and a key to what's gone on historically with the development here.
I always get the question, where do you go to find these rocks? I mean, there are gem fields that we have in the state. Some are private, some are public. Are there certain ones around that you'd recommend for beginners?
Well, absolutely. Oh, well, good question, because we have with the Reno Gem and Mineral Society, we have a Future Rock Hounders Club, and children from ages 6 to 12 can actually come one Saturday a month to a free event at our rock building and learn about geology and how to go out and become a rock hounder. So you get tools, and you get the map, and you get to go out with, you know, qualified people, of course, to go to the areas where these rocks are located. And so there's numerous fields that we can get into that are on public land, and we are allowed to get in without having any restrictions for us. But, you know, come to the society and find out more about what we offer.
We have two sets of two tickets. Hang in there, folks. We're going to do that before 11 o'clock in the morning. But this is the Jackpot of Gems show, which is going on right now with 39 vendors, raffles, $500 cash. What is that, a giveaway?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. With many exquisite items, the silent auction, as Stephanie mentioned, every 30 minutes. Two daily auctions each day, today and tomorrow, with big ticket items. You have the Kids Corner with games, a scavenger hunt, gold panning. I was overwhelmed when I was there. All for free. You can spin the wheel for gifts. You can talk rocks with people. That's so cool. And mini lectures out the day. You have them in like corners there. And a photo booth with dinosaurs. Oh, you brought dinosaurs there. That is so cool. We're going to take a break and be right back. In this next segment, we'll give away the two sets of two tickets to the Jackpot of Gems show. But your folks are invited right now to get out there at the GSR downstairs. And adults are $10 and kids under 12 free. I'm Chad Potter, back in a few, very soon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1047.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
I'm Potter with Stephanie Leonard for one more segment. We'll be giving away two sets of two tickets near the end of this segment. And we're talking about the incredible Jackpot of Gems show at the GSR. As I said, I'm overwhelmed. I'm still getting through the description here of what's there. You have an ornament decorating table for the Nevada People's Tree heading to Washington, D.C. You have display cases with award-winning specimens that have been collected by the members of your organization, which is the Reno Gem and Mineral Society. Y'all are a bunch of rock freaks, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We love it.
And we were talking about gem fields. Now, I really enjoy going to the one I think around Tonopah. I think you pay a certain fee to go into it. Haven't tried that one yet. But the one that is on the side of Austin, Nevada, is a public one. I've been there and twice, actually. I think it's been picked clean.
Yeah, it has. But you can keep scavenging.
I mean, you can walk forever to the distant hills, I guess. I don't see any fences in the place.
Yeah, you certainly can. You're looking for those blue agates, which are beautiful out there.
They have a little, it's kind of cool. I don't know who runs it, but they have a little honor system box where you put in a dollar or two or $5 and just go walk in the field. My wife loved it. It was great exercise, too. Gem fields are absolutely fun. Okay, it's today and tomorrow at the GSR. 9 to 5 today. It's on right now. Sunday going from 9 to 4. So how do you join the Reno Gem and Mineral Society?
Oh, there's two ways. If you come to the show, we do have an information table, which will have paper fill-out forms for our membership. And you can also go online to our website, which is the Reno Gem and Mineral Society.org, and go to the membership slot and pull that area down and go ahead and fill out the application.
What are your meetings like? Do people like bring their rocks and y'all talk about them?
Sometimes, yes. We have guest lecturers. They will come in and talk about something related to, you know, rocks and geology or mineralogy, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And also bring in your rocks for identification. We have geologists who are typically there every meeting, so you can help to do that. And we also have typically a online auction where you can then bid on certain rocks that we have for sale and then come pick them up at the Rock and Mineral Building on Rock Boulevard.
And do most of your members like sell their rocks? They go online and make some money on this, or are these collectors who cherish them?
Well, we have a bit of both. There are people who have exquisite collections that are in specialized cases, and they just love to show those off. But also we have people who bring in their rocks and just want to show them off by hand. Yeah.
I will never forget walking and coming across a garage sale and a nice house, went to the backyard, and Stephanie, there were tables and tables of beautiful rocks, and the man had put little tags on them, what country these rocks were found and everything. Obviously, devoted a huge part of his life to his rock collection. Well, the poor man passed away. His wife didn't know what to do with them. And there they were in the garage sale. If I'd have known you, I would have called you. But that's a tragedy. You got to leave your treasure.
It is.
To somebody.
Right.
What a great hobby that is. I mean, it's discovery. It's going outdoors. It's seeing things you never seen before. What are your favorite rocks?
Well, I love the blue agates, for one thing.
Do you find those here?
Oh, John, what? I got to tell you about the Dead Camel Mountains. It's way out there, right past the Lahontan Reservoir. And when you find this really specific location, about 10 miles past the reservoir, up this long, dirty road, there's this most incredible display of rocks that you just pick up and take home. They're already, like, totally polished by the sun. They're gorgeous colors, and they have different descriptions on them, with from striations to circles and different colors of paint. They're absolutely gems of Nevada.
And they're there for the taking?
Oh, yeah. They're free for you to go. Well, you have to get out there in the first place, you know, but they are free to take.
And the place has a name.
Dead Camel Mountains.
Dead Camel Mountains. You're a generous person. You're giving away the secrets.
That's right. But, you know.
Because I'm careful. Well, no, I'm very generous, too. I give away all my secrets, and ta-da, there's a crowd. All right, let's give away the two pairs of two tickets, two sets of two tickets. Stephanie has a question for you folks, and the first two correct answer on the text, 775-884-9910, will win a pair of two tickets. What is the question, Stephanie?
Okay, so what is the geological time era in which the ichthyosaurs, which is our native dinosaur.
Goodness.
When was it roaming Nevada?
You'll have to repeat that. Go ahead.
There's a special geological time when the dinosaurs were ruling, and even right here in Nevada. Can you tell me what time that was?
Time, you mean in terms of what era or age?
What era?
Oh, it had a name.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you might be. It's a very famous name from a movie.
Well, don't make it too easy.
Sorry.
88. No, we got to be tough on these people, Stephanie. 884 90 text your answer, 775-884-9910, and Craig will pick the first two correct answers. And then after Fox News at 11, we'll announce who won your tickets. Anything else you want to say?
I'm going to make a correction really quick.
Yeah.
884-9910.
What did I say?
885. But yeah, 884-9910.
That 885 person must be pissed off now at me. 884-9910. That's 775-884-9910. That is crazy I did that. Spin the wheel for gifts at the show. What gifts, Stephanie?
Oh, there's all kinds of cute rocks. There's jewelry. There's petrified wood. Things like that for spinning that wheel.
It says here you got gold panning.
We do.
There at the GSR?
Yes, we have a special section for the children and adults too. So we have water buckets that you get a gold pan and you swish it around to find the gold flakes. And there's also metal detecting to learn how to do that.
Here's
also
another one of my, I am so old. I remember when the big tourist attraction at Boomtown in Verdi was the gold panning. Were you here then?
I was not.
77, 78? Yes, they had gold panning. That was the big thing to do at Boomtown for all the tourists. And they had a little sluice and a little river stream, and everybody would go there and gold pan. Back when Bob Cashel owned the place. Yes, I am old. So the two daily auctions each day are big ticket items.
Yes, they are.
All right, folks, Jackpot of Gems show. Adults $10, kids under 12 free entry at downstairs at the GSR. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Ah, my pleasure.
Hope we pack the place and pass on the love of rock hounding. I'll be back. John Potter, live and local.